Hosea chapter 9 tonight. Hosea chapter 9. We're going to be looking at verse 1 through 7. Going to be preaching this message here this evening, and this message is going to be comparing our nation to what we see happening in the nation of Israel. And it's a message that I truthfully believe many people don't want to hear about America, but it's true nonetheless. Just because we live in America does not mean that hard times are not going to come. Just because we live in America does not mean that we are immune to the attacks of Satan on our country. I think all of us know just by looking around. You don't even have to look very far. You can. You don't even have to leave your house to see the attack on America and the attack on society and on God and the Bible and all of those things. But the truth is that our nation is under attack. And our nation is in trouble. And we're seeing a lot of the things here in Hosea, and especially here in chapter 9, happening in Israel that we're seeing in our nation. Hosea chapter 9, verse 1 through 7, the Bible says this, "Rejoice not, O Israel, for joy as other people, for thou hast gone a-whoring from thy God, for thou hast loved a reward upon every corn floor. The floor and the winepress shall not feed them, and the new wine shall fail in her. They shall not dwell in the Lord's land, but Ephraim shall return to Egypt, and they shall eat unclean things in Assyria. They shall not offer wine offerings to the Lord, neither shall they be pleasing unto him. Their sacrifices shall be unto them as the bread of mourners. All that eat thereof shall be polluted. For their bread for their soul shall not come into the house of the Lord. What will ye do in the solemn day and in the day of the feast of the Lord? For lo, they are gone because of destruction. Egypt shall gather them up. Memphis shall bury them, the pleasant places for their silver, nettles shall possess them, thorns shall be in their tabernacles. The days of visitation are come, the days of recompense are come. Israel shall know it. The prophet is a fool, the spiritual man is mad, for the multitude of thine iniquity and the great hatred." When we read through those verses, if someone wrote something like that and replaced words in there with America, we would say they're completely true, wouldn't we? Truth of the matter is this. I know it's speaking of Israel, and I'm not preaching America into the Old Testament. That's not what I'm doing tonight. But what I do want to do is show exactly what Israel was going through, the things that were going to happen to them, and we'll see they're happening to America as well. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you tonight, and Lord, we thank you for who you are. We thank you for coming and dying on the cross for us. We thank you for your body being crushed for us and your blood being spilled. Lord, we should never get over that. Lord, I do pray that you would help each and every one of us, Lord, to keep that at the forefront of our minds. Lord, I pray that we would keep a short sin account with you, and that we would be quick to confess our sins unto you. Lord, I pray that as we go through this message tonight, that you would speak to our hearts and that each and every one of us, Lord, would see where our nation is headed. And Lord, I pray that it would light a fire underneath of us. Lord, that we would be busy about doing your work. We ask all these things in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Over the last several months, we've been journeying through the book of Hosea, and we've discussed a lot of Israel's sins. We've heard a lot about the things that they've done and how they've refused to follow the Lord. We've heard that God was not pleased with Israel, and the people of God had turned away from God. Everything that God had told them to do, it seems as though they did the opposite. They ran the opposite direction. God said, "Serve me." They served idols. God said to go here, and they went there instead. There's just all sorts of things that in which they were going against the Lord. And though we've heard a little bit about the judgment that's going to come, we've heard an awful lot about their sin, an awful lot about how they've transgressed against God, and an awful lot about their guilt in all of these things. But tonight we're going to dive into a little bit more. What we must understand is judgment that will always come to an unrepentant heart. So tonight I'd like to preach to you a message that I've entitled this, Our Land is Taken Captive. Our land is taken captive. My desire to look at the book of Hosea here in chapter 9 and see what God told Hosea about Israel and see how it is a close representation of what we see in America today. Now, I understand that all Scripture, it has one interpretation. What God's Word says, that's what it says. Amen. But there's many applications, and I believe that this chapter here is very applicable to our nation. And as we look at the things going on today, and you look at the things that have been going on over the last few years, and the last 10 years, and 20 years, and 30 years, and even so on and so forth, what you're going to find, you're not going to find America on a steep incline in revival. Instead, you're going to see that America is practically doing a nosedive away from God, that America is nosediving into sin. And every once in a while, you'll see that there's a little bit of revival, and it seems that things may be flattening out. And then what happens? It starts nosediving again. And we're in a nosedive, aren't we? Look at our country, and rightfully so, the human mind would think, is there any hope? Is there any hope left for this great nation that we live in? What we're going to see here is these similarities of our country with the nation of Israel, but also the impact on the land is also seen in the lives of the people. So understand tonight, under our land is taken captive, understand number one, the starvation that is present. Look at verse 2 of our passage, and we're going to jump to a couple other verses here. Chapter 9 and verse 2, it says, the floor and the winepress shall not feed them, and the new wine shall fail in her. Look at verse 4. They shall not offer wine offerings unto the Lord, neither shall they be pleasing unto him. Their sacrifices shall be unto them as the bread of mourners. All that eat thereof shall be polluted for their bread, for their soul shall not come to the house of the Lord. Look at verse 5. What will ye do in the solemn day and in the day of the feast of the Lord? Look over at verse 14. Give them, O Lord, what wilt thou give? Give them a miscarrying womb and dry breast. What we see here is there's a starvation that's happening here. There's a starvation that is happening in the nation of Israel that's going to happen in the nation of Israel. It's what the Lord is warning them about here. And we see that it's two types of starvation that we see in this great nation of Israel, the nation in which the Lord desired to take the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ and take it and give it out to the world. What we see here is a starvation that's happening there. First of all, we see a physical starvation. We see there that in verse 2, the floor and the winepress shall not feed them, and the new wine shall fail in her. Understand the picture that it's showing here. This floor was like a threshing floor. This is where all the grain would come in, and this is where they would separate the wheat from the tare and all of these different things. It would all happen there on this threshing floor. And then also talking about the winepress, this is where they would get the fruit of the vine. This is where they could take those beautiful grapes that the Lord had given them, and they could take it and put it into this wine press, and they could get that wonderful juice from there, and God had blessed them greatly. But God says that's all coming to a close. It's coming to an end. The floor and the wine press are no longer going to feed you. He was saying that simply because of their refusal to repent. The land of Israel is not a place that is known to be just some dry and barren place. It is dry, but there are some crops there that can be harvested. Think about the land that God promised that God promised them. God said it was a plentiful land. There was bounty. There was beauty when they arrived. There was so much for them to enjoy when they were there. And each and every one of us, if you've trusted Christ as your personal Savior, understand this. God has something beautiful and bountiful for you as well. And many times we get into the Christian life and we're going through life and we have all of these blessings from God. And it seems as though we're on top of the world and God is blessing us and blessing our family. And it seems like we have all of these things, and then sin starts to creep in. And before we know it, we're wondering how we got so low to the place in which we're at. Because sin crept in. Not because God's mercy changed. No, God is long-suffering to us, where God cares for us. God wants us to be close to Him. Why was Israel going to be starving here? It's simply because they took their eyes off of God. They decided to follow the heathen of the land rather than following God, and starvation was present. Here in America, what is something that we have been over the last several years, it seems to me like no matter when you turn on the news, somebody's talking about a shortage of this food or a shortage of this, or if this this nation, if they get taken control of by this nation, then there's going to be a shortage on this and all of these things. And people would say, well, this is America. That'll never happen to us. It will happen. It is going to happen. The nation of America, as we know it, understand we are so far from God. Understand the judgment of God is coming upon our nation. Our nation is taken captive by sin. It's taken captive. Many people have the idea that famine and physical starvation could never come to America because simply it's America. Lord, help us. Understand where I'm coming from here tonight. I bleed red, white, and blue like the rest of us. I love our country. I love what the Lord has given us. We have freedoms that have never been known in any other country other than America. I praise the Lord for that. I praise the Lord for the men and women that risk their lives every single day for our freedoms. But also, I know that our nation's in trouble. Our nation is hurting. A country that went from being the largest exporter of food to one of the largest importers of food, that causes a problem, doesn't it? Here in the nation of Israel, they had wine presses, they had corn floors, they had these things they needed to prepare the food, but there was no food to prepare. You know, each and every one of us, we're blessed with homes to live in, and we have all the latest gadgets on how to prepare food. They make all these different things. It's amazing to me how quick food can be prepared now. I'll tell you, a life-changing invention was the air fryer. Amen. Because I want food and I want it now. Amen. But you know that air fryer and oven and all of those ways to prepare food, you know, they're useless without food to put in them. And God is telling Israel here, you have everything you need to prepare the food. So what's the problem going to be? He's not going to take away the wine press. He's not taking away the corn floor there. He'll say, but the corn floor is just a floor without the corn. The wine press is just a press without the wine. You see, America is a land that was once a land of great abundance is quickly becoming a nation that is found wanting because our land has been taken captive by sin. I am in no way tonight attempting to preach some political message. What I want to do tonight is I want each and every one of us to understand that this is the pattern that happens when a nation turns from God. This is a pattern that happens when people decide that I'm going to go my way rather than going God's way. Not only physical starvation, something even worse is this, spiritual starvation. Look at verse 4 and 5, if you will, of our passage. They shall not offer wine offerings to the Lord, neither shall they be pleasing unto Him. Their sacrifices shall be unto them as the bread of mourners. All that eat thereof shall be polluted, for their bread and for their soul shall not come into the house of the Lord. What will ye do in the solemn day and in the day of the feast of the Lord? And then I want you to look over at verse 7. The days of visitation are come. The days of recompense are come. Israel shall know it. Understand these next couple statements. The prophet is a fool. The spiritual man is mad for the multitude of thine iniquity and the great hatred. Here in this passage, it declares that Israel will not be spiritually feasting as they should be. Notice the question that's asked there, I believe in verse 5. Yes, it says, what will ye do in the solemn day and in the day of the feast of the Lord? The context of that question is this. In the days in which you are supposed to be sacrificing, in the days in which you are supposed to be carrying out these feasts, the days in which you are supposed to be giving God glory and learning from the scriptures and all of these things, following the law, following what God wants you to do, what he's asking them here is this. What are you going to do on those days? When all of this is taken away from you, when you're going to be placed into a heathen land, what are you going to do on those days? When are you going to worship? Not only that, but they're not going to be worshiping and they're not going to miss it as a whole. But think about this for a moment. Israel, as we have studied, has fallen into spiritual idolatry. Israel was not serving the great I Am. Instead, they were worshiping idols. There was a spiritual famine in the land, not because God was unwilling to feed them, but because they were unwilling to partake of what God was giving. They were starving to death spiritually when the trough was full in front of them. There was plenty of food to eat. They had plenty of things that God desired to give to them, but they were unwilling to partake of it. When we look at Israel, we see how even the people of God would not miss the worship of the Lord. You see quite a comparison of that in America, can't you? As a whole, our nation would not miss gathering together in church. If every single church in America, if the doors were shut to the building, most of America would not miss it. It wouldn't occur to them because they don't go anyway. But even more than that, a great majority of so-called believers wouldn't miss it. We found that out through this whole COVID-19 and all of that, and I understand there was some great health concerns through that. But it's amazing to me the people that are still live streaming today simply because they got comfortable doing it then. Simply because didn't see the big deal of gathering together. On a regular basis, there was a recent survey that was conducted. On a regular basis, only 20% of people questioned say that they ever go to church once a week. 20%. 30% of the people questioned said they've never been to church. Never. The rest of the ones were, will they go on Easter Sunday or for Christmas time or something like that? But other than that, 20% said they go once a week. And you can bet that some of them were lying, amen? People wouldn't miss services. You know, so many so-called churches that are only holding services to check it off the list. They're allowing people to decide when the church meets rather than allowing the Bible to dictate it. But the Bible still says, forsake not the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but so much the more as you see the day approach. When was the last time you heard of a church in town having to get a new sign because they were adding a service time? They needed more room so they could add these new services. No. What do you see? You see the church signs. All they have to say is one name and 11 a.m. That's it. Because people aren't coming. Because people are following this world's philosophy. Sin creeps into our lives. If we do not confess that sin unto God, we are told, as we are told to do in 1 John, understand this, spiritual starvation will come. We're not immune to that. You know, there's an awful lot of people who don't take church attendance seriously. And when it's stripped out from underneath of them, they're not going to miss it. Can I tell you this morning? I don't want to be in that group. I want to be in the group that's going to fight for our freedoms to gather together and worship. I want to be in the group that people understand it's important to me to go into the house of the Lord. I love that, that passage in the Bible when it says, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. I enjoy being in church. I enjoy getting together with the people of God. I enjoy singing the great hymns of the faith and hearing the Bible preached. I enjoy that. We should all enjoy that. But understand, as a whole, our nation is taken captive of starvation. Not only starvation, but understand this, the wandering that will ensue. There's a continual wandering, isn't there? Just like the children of Israel were wandering out in the desert. That's what's ensuing, isn't it? You know, when you look at the map, if you will, of different studies that they've done as far as studying the nation of Israel's journeys through the wilderness, you're going to find that they crisscrossed each other's paths over and over and over and over and over and over again. 40 years just walking in circles. This way and that way and this way and that way. They're wandering. Understand this. Our nation is wandering. Look at verse 3, if you will. The Bible says this, they shall not dwell in the Lord's land, but Ephraim shall return to Egypt. They shall eat unclean things in Assyria. Look at verse 15. The Bible says, all their wickedness is in Gilgal, for there I hated them for the wickedness of their doings. I will drive them out of mine house. I will love them no more. All their princes are revolters. Look at verse 17. My God will cast them away because they did not hearken unto him, and they shall be wanderers among the nations. God did not desire for his people to be wanderers among the nations. He desired for his people to go into the land that he had given them, and for them to follow him. And through that, all of these other nations would be able to be influenced for the Lord. But the truth is this, the Lord has been so caring and gracious to Israel. He's been caring and gracious to us as a land as well. But America has been fleeing God. We've been wandering for many years. The end of verse 17, it says, and they shall be wanderers among the nations. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 28, if you will. Deuteronomy chapter 28. Deuteronomy 28, and look at verse 64 and 65. Deuteronomy 28, verse 64 and 65. Notice what the Bible says. And the Lord shall scatter thee among all people, from the one end of the earth even unto the other. And there thou shalt serve other gods, which neither thou nor thy fathers have known, even wood and stone. And among these nations shalt thou find no ease, neither shall the sole of thy foot have rest, but the Lord shall give thee there a trembling heart and failing of eyes and sorrow of mind. There was going to be wandering. What did God say was going to happen during this wandering? Well, they were going to serve other gods, of course, lower G gods. Amen. There's only one God that holds the capital G name. You know, it doesn't matter where you go or what you think you're doing. If you are not serving the Lord, understand this, you're serving other gods. Exactly where the nation of Israel was. They were serving things that their fathers knew nothing about. Isn't that where our nation is today? Think about our nation and think about what is worshiped today in our nation. When you look at Israel, when you look at the nation that was the very people of God, the very children of God, as they were placed into this area, and God desired to bless them, and God desired to do great things through them. Understand what's happening here. They're turning to other gods. They're worshiping other things. The very God that made the trees, they were worshiping wooden idols. And the very God that made the rocks, they were taking those very rocks that God had made. They were carving them into some figurine, if you will, and they were bowing themselves before it. They were serving other gods. In our nation today, what do we see people worshiping? Mother Nature. People are worshiping trees, aren't they? You know, it's amazing to me. My my dad was going to build a pole barn at his shop or at his house there, and as we were going to build that, there was some branches that were hanging over before we built it, and we knew that with the height of the pole barn, those branches were going to be hitting the roof. So we said, well, before they come and frame this up, what we're going to do is we're going to go out there and just kind of trim the branches off a little bit. So we went out there and we got up there. We trimmed the branch up just high enough to where they could build it, and they wouldn't be rubbing on the roof and all of that. Inspector comes out from the state of Maryland, and inspector comes and he says, okay, you know, where are you wanting to put the building? We told him and all of these things, and he goes, okay. He goes, now, I see that you trimmed some branches here. We said, yeah, when the building gets built, they were going to be hitting the roof, so we figured we'd get them out of the way so they didn't have to worry about it and all of that. He says this, did you get a permit for that? My dad said, no. Why would we get a permit? It's my property. He goes, but those are the trees. I said, wait a second here. We're getting ready to build a 20 by 30 barn out of wood. We're cutting a couple of branches off and you're worried about the trees. Our nation worships Mother Nature, don't they? Now, the great part about this is the inspector told us this. I'll let it slip this time. So praise the Lord. Amen. Just don't come back, okay? They worship Mother Nature. You know, something else that's worshipped, and it's really reared its ugly head these last couple years, is science. You know, people put more focus on science than what they put on truth. You know, you can make something say whatever you want it to say. You can manipulate things different ways to get the outcome that you want. We've got different ones that are involved in farming and agriculture and things like that here today. There's all sorts of things that they'll put together to be able to biologically make this corn. Or I'm sure with the McMichael's pigs, I'm sure they do things there as well. And different things they've figured out how to make it grow and all of that. I'm not saying that science is a bad thing. What I'm saying is this. We have, for too long as a nation, we have turned to science for answers rather than God who made all of these things. Lord, help us. What about evolution? Believing everything came from a rock. Well, here's something that makes sense. I'll take a rock and I'll put it on the ground, and after it rains on it for a million years, a whole atmosphere is going to pop out of that rock. That makes a lot of sense, doesn't it? But our nation worships evolution. You see, many times we think that, well, as long as we don't have a little figurine sitting on a mantle somewhere, we're not worshiping other gods. That's not the case. Anything you put before God is an idol in your life. Anything. Doesn't matter what it is. In and of itself may not be sin. I believe science in and of itself is a sin. It's a wonderful thing. God has given men the wisdom to understand these things, but it doesn't mean we should worship science. We should worship God. Something else that's worshipped in our nation today is animals. It's amazing to me the worship of animals today. You know, you can't harm this thing or these types of things. I'm not talking about inhumane things. That's not what I'm talking about. I understand that there are people that push the limits too far. But also understand this. At the end of the day, it's an animal. It's an animal. God has given man dominion over the creatures of the earth. Dominion. Now, my dog Copper is as close to a human as you're going to get. Amen. He loves snacks, all of those things. But at the end of the day, he's an animal. He naps all day. He'll lay on his back with his feet in the air. Sometimes it looks like he's running and his legs are twitching and all that stuff. He has a hard life, as you can tell. But he's an animal. For too long, our nation has worshipped all of these things. And where has it gotten us? I don't think anybody in their right mind would be able to stand there and say the worship of trees, the worship of science, the worship of Mother Earth, the worship of evolution, and the worship of animals has drawn us closer to God Himself. No one can say that, because it hasn't. It's pulled us away from God. You know, it also says, not only are we going to be serving other gods, it also says that they will find no ease among other nations. They were told that they were wanderers, that they would travel about these other nations, and they would find no ease there. That describes the mindset of our world. Think about the things that our country is trying to push forward. Our country is pushing this mindset of abortion and this mindset of all of these life-ending drugs and all the sexuality-changing drugs and all of these things, gender mutilation and these things that are just terrible things. They're pushing homosexuality. And what's amazing to me is this. You look at third world countries, when you look at countries who have not been blessed the way that America's been blessed, they don't have the things that America has. They're looking at America and literally laughing at us for letting those things pass in our country. Or saying, we don't have anything to do with those things. America has become the laughingstock of the world. It's sad. Don't think for one second that it's just things that happen or it's just a coincidence. Church, I truthfully believe it's the judgment of God on our nation. Our nation is taken captive. Something else we see here is this, that we'll have a trembling heart. Failing of eyes and sorrow of mind. That word trembling, it means this, timid. The word failing means destruction. These verses continue on talking about their mindset and their words during the time of this wandering. And the truth is, all of these things are happening simply because of sin. That's the common denominator, and it's the same exact pattern that we saw in the nation of Israel. We see the exact same pattern, a cookie cutter. You can take it and place it on America today. Because our nation has been taken captive. When you look at our nation today, you see people and groups who are searching for truth. They're wandering about trying this and trying that. They know that truth is out there, but yet they cannot seem to find it. This is why we were told as believers to go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. Why? Because God Almighty, He is omniscient, knows every single thing. He knows the very heart of man. And what He knows is there's going to be people in our path every single day that are searching for truth. People that may have turned to science, they may have turned to evolution, they may have turned to worshiping Mother Earth and all of these things. They've exhausted all of these other resources and they still haven't found hope. Who's going to give it to them if we're not? God told us to go simply for this reason. We need to go get them. The Bible says, compel them to come in. This world is searching for truth. Our nation's held captive by sin. We have the answer for the problem. We have the key to unlock those doors of eternal life for them. But yet, many times, we just mind our own business. We refuse to speak out on certain things. We refuse to be a nuisance, if you will. And because of that, our nation's been taken captive. For too long, we as believers have sat on our hands. We have the cure for their pain. We have the key that can free them from the bondage of sin. And that's the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. People are wandering. They're wandering about and spiritually starving to death. Simply because they haven't found the truth and it hasn't been given to them. And then notice, lastly here this evening, and we'll be done, notice the death that is prominent. The death that is prominent. Look at verse 6, and we'll go to verse 12 and verse 16 for a passage in Hosea. Hosea chapter 9 and verse 6, it says, "For lo, they are gone because of destruction. Egypt shall gather them up. Memphis shall bury them. The pleasant places for their silver, nettles shall possess them. Thorns shall be in their tabernacles." Look at verse 12. "Though they bring up their children, yet will I bereave them, and there shall not be a man left. Yea, woe also to them when I depart from them." Verse 16, "Ephraim is smitten, their root is dried up. They shall bear no fruit. Yea, though they bring forth, yet will I slay even the beloved fruit of their womb." Understand this, death is prominent. You know, that is not following God, you're going to see an abundance of death. You're going to see that. In our nation, we're surrounded by death, aren't we? Not by just natural causes, but terrible, vile causes of death. And it's so prominent. And though we do not like to hear about these things, the truth of the matter is this. Shootings have become so popular, if you will, or I don't know the other word I'm looking for, so prominent, if you will, in our country, that though when we hear about a shooting that happened, we say things like, man, I really hate that happened, or man, we need to pray for those families, or whatever it may be. There's so many of them happening today. Understand this, we're not surprised by them anymore. Why is that? Because of the judgment of God, over and over and over again. You know, when abortion was first brought to the table, it was struck down many times. No, we're not going to allow that. Why would we kill babies in the womb? That's murder. Well, then all of a sudden it gets legalized. Now you don't hear many people speaking out against it. Now it's just accepted as a whole through society. Murder rates are at an all-time high. Teen suicides are flooding our schools. Something that seems to be flooding through the news is the issue of abortion. Death abounds in our country. It's something that through video games, movies, and all of these things, we're being so accustomed to death. You know, many people today, when they see a terrible tragedy happen and someone gets shot, many people today, they are not shocked by the gory scene because they see it every day on the TV screen. It's just like another movie to them. Death is prominent in a country that is taken captive. Church, this isn't because of just a few bad people in our country. I truthfully believe it's the judgment of God. We live in a country that's indoctrinating our children through the public school system. They're telling our boys that they can be girls, and our girls that they can be boys. They're saying you can be one thing today and another thing tomorrow. Church, our nation is being taken captive by sin. We have got to stand against these things. Don't allow your children to be taken captive by these things. We're enslaved by sin. We see spiritual starvation. We see the wandering. We see death all around us. God is judging the sin of our land. So what can we do? What is there that we can do during this time? Well, we continue to obey the Lord. We can remain faithful. But something that we must understand is this. We should never discount the power of God. There are too many believers that for too long they've said this, well, that's just the way the world's going. And they just let it walk right by without saying a word. Understand this. We need to stand up for truth. We need to preach the truth. We need to get the word of God out to this lost and dying world. Just giving someone a positive affirmation or just telling someone, well, this is how you live a better life, that's not going to help them. That's not going to free our country. The only freedom that people can find is through the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I truthfully believe that God still desires to do great things. Our nation is not too far gone. I believe there can be a spiritual revival, because with God, all things are possible. Look at the nation of Nineveh. There was a great revival that happened in Nineveh. People, they clothed themselves in sackcloth and ashes, and they got on their knees before God, and they said, "Lord, forgive us of our sins." And God spared their land. God can do that today. But what did it take for that news to get to them? It took a preacher that was willing to go out, a person who was willing to say, "Thus saith the Lord." It didn't happen because Jonah was someone that was willing to just stay at home. Yes, Jonah had his issues. Yes, there was times in which he was running from God and all of that. But at the end of the day, he went there. He delivered the message that God wanted him to deliver. Was he a perfect man? No, but he had his faith in God. And that's how all of us. Our country is not too far gone. Our town is not too far gone. Our state is not too far gone. Because with God, all things are possible. God can do great things. The Bible says this: "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land." And I understand in the context there, God is not speaking about the nation of America. But what I do understand is this, that God changes not. And God's promises are true. And God desires to do great things. There's been an awful lot of churches being started, but not a lot of gospel going out. A lot of places that call themselves churches, not a Bible preaching. That's not going to free our land. What's going to free our land is people turning from their wicked ways, humbling ourselves before God. But before that happens out there, it has to happen in here. Every one of us. We live in a land that is sick, a land that is held captive. We have the antidote for the captive, starving, wandering, and death-ridden land. It's found in the Lord Jesus Christ. But are we going to give it out? Are we going to see our land for what it is and understand that our land was founded upon at least biblical principles? And for a long time, our country was considered a Christian nation. It's not that way anymore. It's quite the opposite of that. But what are we going to do? Are we going to just fold our hands and say, "Well, this is just what we're going to have to deal with until Christ comes"? Or are we going to say, "We're going to go out and we're going to tell this world exactly what God wants them to hear"? They're not going to want to hear it. There's going to be hundreds, if not thousands, of people that are going to say, "I don't want to hear that." But it's not up to us to pick and choose who we tell. It's up to us to go. Our land is taken captive. If we care about following the Bible, if we care about obeying God, if we care about this great country that the Lord has given to us, we have to go. And we have to go now. Because our land